Our next guest is, of course, no stranger to this audience. It's Daniel Greenfield. Daniel Greenfield joins us out of Los Angeles tonight. Daniel, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
As always, my pleasure.
Hey, Daniel, let's talk about a few things. But first, I want to start out talking about Madeleine Albright. She passed away today. And, you know, I generally, to be honest with you, when people pass away, I don't usually say much. Because I don't believe in, you know, dancing on people's graves, and I'm not going to do that tonight. But I do think we have to offset the propaganda. There's an awful lot of propaganda going on today. I turned on Fox News just to see what they were saying, and true to form, they're just singing the praises of Madeleine Albright. I think she was the first female Secretary of State, and they're just singing her praises. But this is a woman, Madeleine Albright, that has said some very shocking things over the years. One of them, of course, is that any woman that did not vote for Hillary Clinton, well, that there was a warm place in hell for that person. I think I have the video clip, the audio clip. The video
we
clip.
We can tell our story
we'll play
about
this. Let me play this. I'll back it up. Let me play this real quick, this clip. But here's a perfect example of one of the things she said, Madeleine Albright.
We can tell our story about how we climbed the ladder. And a lot of you younger women don't think you have to. It's been done. It's not done. And you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you. And just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so tell me your thoughts about Madeleine Albright. And what are we suffering today, Daniel, that is a consequence of her worldview?
Well, to understand a lot of the problems that we're dealing with in foreign policy, whether it's Afghanistan or Russia, you really have to go back to the Clinton administration. They had 8 years to profoundly mess things up. They planted a lot of bombs that have been going off all along now. So when you look at the situation in Afghanistan, when did the Taliban take over? They took over during the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration, this was a little bit before Madeleine Albright's time, but during the Clinton administration, they engaged in outreach to the Taliban. They ignored all the abuse of women, all this kind of thing. It was the Taliban who actually turned them down. They were asking the Taliban to send an envoy to Washington, D.C. The Taliban chose not to do it. Madeleine Albright then took over later. And in the run-up to September 11th, she was there. She was there in the top job. And the decisions that were made, the bad decisions that failed to go after al-Qaeda, failed to pressure the Taliban, actually continued rewarding the Taliban in some ways. Those happened under Madeleine Albright's watch. So the foreign policy in the Obama administration in some ways picked up from the Clinton administration, because this is what happens, just the way Biden picked up from the Obama administration, the Obama administration picked up from the Clinton. So her legacy is still unfortunately very much with us. When it comes to Russia, this is very much entirely Madeleine Albright's disaster, because you look back at Russia then, they overthrew the communist regime. Under Boris Yeltsin, it was a corrupt government, yes, but it was a reasonably friendly government, one that wanted to actually leave the legacy of communism behind, that was not seeking to conquer and expand territory, that was actually willing to turn its back on this great empire that had been built under the Soviet Union. The Clinton administration under Madeleine Albright is very aggressive about then pushing for larger breakups in Eastern Europe. This comes to a head in Yugoslavia, where they engage in an illegal war based on false pretenses of genocide. When it comes to the Serbs, this war is blatantly illegal. It also fundamentally breaks up our relationship with Russia. At that point, Boris Yeltsin's days are numbered.
Right.
Putin steps in as his successor at that point, and Putin embraces a very muscular foreign policy, one that is very much built on getting revenge for the fall of the Soviet Union, but also for what happened in Yugoslavia at the behest of Madeleine Albright. Even what we're seeing, some of what we're seeing in the Ukraine now, they are literally making a point of taking, cutting, and pasting material that we sent to them during the Yugoslavia war and directing it now to the Ukraine, because they have a historical memory. Russians, Ukrainians, everybody in that part of the world really has a memory that goes back centuries. We forgot what happened during the Clinton administration. They did not. And this is very much Madeleine Albright's doing. The rise of Putin, the resulting conflicts there are very much as a result of the Clinton administration and Madeleine Albright.
Well, folks, now you know why I called on Daniel Greenfield tonight to give us a commentary on Madeleine Albright. By the way, his website is danielgreenfield.org, but he also writes over at frontpagebag.com. You wrote one on the 22nd of March, I see here on the screen, "Stop the Russian Invasion of America. Biden wants to protect every border except our own." Stop the Russian invasion? Daniel, what's happening?
As usual, this is the southern border. And people think of the southern border, it's Mexicans, it's people from Latin America. No, it's people from all over the world. Yeah, people from India, yes, from Russia, from Europe, from Pakistan. They just take planes over here. I mean, they take planes to Mexico. They fly into Mexico. They rent cars. They drive up to the border crossings, and then they demand asylum. So, you know, whenever there's a crisis anywhere, people from that country immediately know they get a free pass to enter America. This is what's happening. We've had about 8,000 Russians, over 8,000 Russians coming in to apply for asylum on the land crossing, about 5,000 or so Ukrainians. You know, Biden is spending all this effort to defend Ukraine's border. We're spending billions to arm the Ukrainians. Meanwhile, we've got a Russian invasion and the Ukrainian invasion actually happening here south of the border. They've got little encampments there. And in some cases, this has actually turned serious. There was actually two cars, one of them, I think, a Mercedes, that tried to speed their way through the border crossing. A Border Patrol officer opened fire actually on one of the cars because they're very aggressive about trying to get right through the crossing so they can immediately apply for asylum. And people, personnel there, try to stop them at the limit line so they can't actually do this. They ask them for paperwork. What are your papers? What are you doing here? So they actually try to, in some cases, speed by and endanger the lives of officers who are there on the scene by doing that.
Wow. So there are Russians now coming into the U.S. through our porous border.
Yeah, I mean, the last numbers were over 8,000, which is, you know, a sizable number. And it's only going to increase. They've got these YouTube videos that they're making for audiences at home, telling them how easy it is. Come, don't worry. Even if you get caught, nothing's going to happen to you. And you can be in San Diego in 2 days.
Hey, willikers. Here's another one by Daniel Greenfield. Biden's Israel ambassador tells BDS group, that's the Boycott Divestment Sanction Group, he wants Jews out of Jerusalem. So obviously, Biden's Israeli ambassador is an anti-Semite, right?
Yeah, but these are the same policies that were there under the Obama administration. Now they're just picking them up again. The man they appointed as ambassador, Tom Nides, actually has a record of being anti-Israel in the past. But this was really a new record because he went on a pro-BDS group that had actually endorsed the Ben and Jerry's boycott, the Amnesty International attack on Israel, that's called Israel an oppressive regime. And this guy who was supposed to be the point man for diplomatic outreach to Israel goes on their webinar and says, your agenda is where my heart is. By the way, this whole thing is hosted by Randy Weingarten, who's the head of the American Federation Teachers Union, which again shows just exactly how these people are entwined and entangled together. And he goes on to attack Israel, insists that he's doing everything possible to keep Jews from building homes in Jerusalem and other territories that the terrorists claim. Now, this is not diplomatic outreach to Israel. This is diplomatic outreach to the anti-Israel lobby.
What other big stories are you working on right now, Daniel?
Well, we were discussing the Clinton administration previously. One of the situations that has resulted from the Ukraine war is actually uranium prices have shot up. They're actually up 40% or so. And part of the problem is we've become dependent on foreign imported uranium. About 91% of the uranium used in our power plants, the enriched uranium, is coming from abroad. A chunk of it is coming from Canada, but Russia accounts for about 15%. And Russia plus Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, which are allied countries in their spheres of influence, account for about half of our uranium supply. So as a result, we've become dependent on Russian uranium. And this happened under the Clinton administration. Now, before, in 1980, our domestic uranium production was about 40 million pounds. Under the Clintons, it was down to about 5 million. Now it's not even a million. And part of this was the relentless crackdown on mining in America. As a result, we became dependent on Russian uranium. The Clinton administration did a great deal to make it difficult to mine. By the way, this is not just uranium. It's rare earth. It's copper. It's everything. We are getting all the stuff from abroad. The American mining is in very bad shape. Biden, by the way, promised that he was going to bring back mining in America. The union endorsed him, of course. They obviously once again got tricked and manipulated because, of course, once Biden came into office, he was saying he was not going to authorize more mining in America. So that means, again, we're once again dependent on foreign mining. And in the case of uranium, we are dependent on Russia, which means our nuclear plants are literally dependent on Russia. The price spikes can translate potentially into energy price hikes. We're already dealing with inflation. And one of the things that happened also dates back to the Clinton administration beyond making mining very expensive. It was a program called Megatons to Megawatts. The idea was you were going to take these old Russian nuclear warheads and you were going to turn them into cheap enriched uranium for American nuclear plants. As a result, the domestic mining industry was basically wiped out. We began getting a third of our fuel, a third of our enriched uranium from Russia. American mining industry could not compete because this meant really they were dumping cheap uranium in America. Our uranium industry went under. As a result, Russia now completely dominates things. And one of the things that happened actually once the Clintons left office was Hillary Clinton is the Secretary of State. Bill Clinton's going to Russia and giving speeches, being thanked by Vladimir Putin, and they collude to sell Uranium One to Russia. Now, Uranium One at the time had major developments in Kazakhstan, which is really the world's number one country for uranium exports. Now, by the way, under President Trump, I believe it was actually bought back by a Texas company. But under the Clintons, this is very much the kind of ways that they undermined American domestic industries.
Wow. DanielGreenfield.org. DanielGreenfield.org. As always, Daniel, you're a walking encyclopedia. We love having you with us. You could talk about a broad list of topics, and we so appreciate your sharing your knowledge with us as always. Thank you, Daniel.
As always, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
DanielGreenfield.org. DanielGreenfield.org.